I call the April 27th, 2021 meeting of the Chatham County Zoning Board of Appeals to order. My name's James Corsi and I'm chairman of the Zoning Board of Appeals for Chatham County. May we rise and say the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Okay.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. It is a pleasure to see a full board here once again, for the first time in I don't know how many months. All right. Would I call your name, please indicate if you are present. Benjamin Pluke. Jeff Dutrica. Corin Ross. Lucy Hitch. Meredith Stone. Robert Vineyard.
Here.
And the chairman is also present. We have a quorum and we may proceed. For those who are listening, this is a quasi judicial proceeding and this board is authorized to hear testimony and make decisions on appeal from a zoning administrator's decision. The board may reverse, we may affirm wholly or partly, or may modify any order, requirement, decision, or determination of the zoning administrator. These decisions are final and any appeal must be taken up to the Superior Court beyond this level. For those of you who are on the telephone, and I see that all of you are this morning, please, when you're called on to speak slowly and clearly, because sometimes we have a little bit of a hard time hearing, but it does seem to be getting better of late. Right. Do we have any notices or proclamations this morning? I don't see any on the agenda.
No, sir.
All right. Has everyone had a chance to review the minutes of the previous meeting? All right. Do I hear a motion to approve those minutes?
Mr. Chairman, this is Mr. Vineyard. I move that the minutes be approved.
Do I hear a second? Okay. Nothing on the consent agenda? Well, first let's vote, I suppose. I'm a little bit slow this morning.
I didn't want to remind
you. Well, you go ahead and remind me. We have a first, we have a second. May we have a roll call vote, please. Mr. Pluke?
Yes.
Mr. Dutrica?
Yes.
Ms. Ross?
Yes.
Ms. Hitch?
Yes.
Ms. Stone?
Yes.
Mr. Vineyard?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. Nothing on the consent agenda, no old business. Mr. Lotson is the Director of Development Services and is here on behalf of the MPC and will be representing the staff this morning. I believe, Mr. Lotson, we have three petitions ready to be heard this morning.
Yes, sir. And our first petition is for 10 Lily Bridge Crossing. And I could proceed with that if the board is ready. The first item, before I start, let me just remind the board members, as we get into the discussion, just please remember to turn your microphones on so you can be heard over the Zoom call. Thank you. But the first item for consideration by the board is 10 Lily Bridge Crossing. This property is in the Landing subdivision and the petitioner is proposing or requesting rather a 5'6" rear yard setback variance from the 25-foot requirement for the conversion of an existing unenclosed deck into a new sunroom. The site plan that's shown on the screen is the existing residence at 10 Lily Bridge Crossing. As you can see on the site plan, a portion of this home already encroaches into the rear yard setback. That was approved back in 1988 when this property was constructed. The existing deck was not considered an encroachment at the time because it is an open deck, thereby not considered an encroachment. The proposed sunroom, which is approximately 225 square feet, would encroach by 5'6" as currently designed. And this is the location shown here of the existing deck. This is a map showing the area surrounding the subject property. The area to the left on the map behind the residence is some common area within the landings, which serves as a vegetative buffer between McWhorter Drive and the rear of the subject property. That's approximately 100 feet in width. In this aerial view, you can see that buffer that exists here along McWhorter Drive, and this is the approximate location of the proposed encroachment. In review of the criteria for variance, staff does find that there are some unusual circumstances related to this residence and this property. In particular, the shape of the property on this cul-de-sac, the existing vegetative buffer between the adjacent properties as well as McWhorter Drive, and the fact that the existing home already encroaches into the buffer as shown on the site plan provided by the applicant. Based on these criteria and these findings, staff is recommending approval of the 5'6" rear yard setback variance for 10 Lily Bridge Crossing. I'd be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman, or we can hear from the applicant, the applicant's agent, Ms. Casera, who I believe is on the Zoom call.
Are there any questions from the board to staff at this point? If not, we'll hear from the applicant.
Good morning. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and the board. Thank you, Marcus. My name is Shauna Casera, and I'm working with my clients on this sunroom addition. The couple things that I'd like to mention are that we did already receive approval from the Landings Association for this project. Secondly, the neighbor to the north has also provided support for the project. Not that they have a very clear line of sight to it, but that neighbor, who is the only neighbor that would see the project, is in support of the project. And then the last thing that I wanted to reiterate that Marcus mentioned is we do have a very large buffer that protects from McWhorter Road. So it's pretty isolated back there. Thank you. Those are my comments.
All right, Ms. Casera, you jumped a gun a little bit. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth for the testimony you've already given?
I swear that I have already told the truth.
Thank you. Any questions of staff? All right. Any comment, any discussion?
Mr. Chairman, this is Mr. Vineyard. This is my neighborhood, obviously. I drove over there yesterday. I'm familiar with this property. McWhorter Drive, as she already said, it backs up to this property. You can't see it if you even tried because of the dense vegetation. And I would, if a motion is in order.
Well, let me first ask, are there any persons opposing supporting this petition who'd like to speak?
If there are members of the public who'd like to comment, please use the raise your hand feature. We'll recognize you.
No. All right. No one else to speak for the petitioner or against the project. So I think we'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt the staff's recommendation and allow the variance at 10 Little Bridge Crossing for the reasons set out by staff.
I second the motion.
All right. We have a first by Mr. Vineyard and a second by Ms. Ross. Let me have a roll call vote. Mr. Pelote?
Aye.
Mr. Dotrika?
Aye.
Ms. Ross?
Aye.
Ms. Hitch?
Aye.
Ms. Stone?
Aye.
And Mr. Vineyard obviously is aye. And Chairman is aye. Variance passes.
Thank you kindly.
Thank you very much, Ms. Casera. Have a good day.
Thank you.
All right. Second matter on the agenda this morning is 120 West Tahoe. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. If staff will give us a presentation, please.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, the next item, which is 120 West Tahoe, is actually a little bit, something a little bit different than we typically see as often at this board. It's a request for use approval, and the use that's being requested is a childcare center at the subject property. The petitioner is seeking a variance from one of the conditions that's required under use 20A of the county zoning ordinance to establish a childcare center. This is a map showing the location of 120 West Tahoe. It's within a residential subdivision known as the Lakes of Cottonvale. The property and the remaining lots in the subdivision are zoned residential. The property does not abut a collector or arterial classified street, which is the required, one of the required conditions. And that is the condition that the applicant is seeking a variance from. The applicant, as I understand it, currently operates a family daycare at this location, and that's defined in the ordinance by not exceeding 6 children. And they're attempting or requesting to expand the use to a childcare center. In this case, they have filed with the state of Georgia to increase the number of children to between 12 and 15. There are a number of conditions that are associated with establishing a childcare center in a residential home. And the one that the applicant is seeking relief from is the street classification. It requires that it be on an arterial or collector classified street. West Tahoe Drive is a residential street. And going through some of the other conditions that are required, there's a condition that at least 100 square feet of outdoor play space is provided for each child. Again, that it abuts a collector street, and I should say that the board is authorized to waive the requirement regarding the street classification if on the basis of evidence presented it finds the traffic to be generated by the use can be accommodated on other streets without causing any issues. This is a street view of the subject property. Let me go to the aerial map, actually. I think gives you a better feel for the development pattern in the neighborhood. It also requires that where abutting a use, where the abutting use is residential, that visual buffers be provided from both the parking areas and the play areas. And the board will have the right to consider traffic patterns and volume and the general character of the neighborhood to limit the number of ages of the number of children allowed at a child care center. Family daycares are not uncommon within residential zoning districts throughout the county. Childcare centers are somewhat more intense based on the number of children, the issues that we typically find, and the reason that some of these conditions are applied to the use is that the primarily due to traffic creation and the pickup drop-off issue, because generally people are picking up and dropping off around the same time in the morning and in the evening. It does require that as part of the requirement that safe pickup and drop off is part of the site. And as I walk through the criteria for granting approval of the use, I want to just talk about some of these criteria as it relates and what staff's findings are. I'm going to pull that up on our report so we can walk through those, because I think this is really the crux of the issues. So the first criteria, as you can see, is that the proposed use does not affect adversely the general plans for the physical development of the county as embodied in these regulations and any master plans. Staff finds that the zoning and development pattern is residential in nature and is not designed for non-residential traffic, parking, or loading. That's really one of the main issues as it relates to childcare centers within residential neighborhoods, is that it usually has an impact on the street right of way because people are going to park and load and unload within the right of way. The next criteria is that the proposed use would not be contrary to the purposes stated for these regulations. The property is in a residential zoning classification, and we find that a childcare center versus a family daycare is really more appropriate for either a commercially zoned area and developed area or a residential area that can accommodate the additional traffic and pressure on the street. Next criteria being that the proposed use will not adversely affect the health and safety of residents. The loading and unloading of children at the site would likely require activity in the right-of-way, which we believe could cause a safety concern. The next criteria is that the proposed use will not be a detriment to other properties. Staff finds that the neighborhood is completely developed. However, residents immediately adjacent to the subject property could experience detrimental effects associated with the use, again, based primarily on the traffic pickup and drop-off. Whether the proposed use will affect other existing uses is not likely that that will occur in staff's finding, and whether the proposed use will place is placed on a lot of sufficient size to satisfy the space requirements. We do believe they can satisfy the space requirements for the children on the site as relates to the required play area. There is a fenced yard in the rear. However, it does not appear that the lot is of sufficient size to accommodate, say, pickup and drop off off the street. And whether or not the use may constitute a nuisance or hazard, and we believe that the proposed use is likely to increase vehicular activity at the site, which could cause a nuisance. And we find that the standards for approval of the use within a residential zoning classification have not been met. And based on these findings, we're recommending denial of the requested use approval for the property at 120 West Tahoe. I'd be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Lotson. Do we have any questions of staff before we get to the petitioner from the board?
Has there been any input from the neighbors as far as their opinion on this?
I did receive a phone call from one property owner on West Tahoe, not immediately adjacent to the property. Their discussion in the phone call indicated that they were opposed to the change, but they did not provide a written opposition.
This is a basic question, but what's the difference between a family daycare
sure.
and a child?
It's the number of children that are permitted. You can have six as a family mm-hmm. daycare. As you get over that, then you get into the center, child care center, this particular applicant. And I should say also that a part of this process for the applicant is to go through the state of Georgia to receive the necessary permits to have a home daycare. And what she's requested is 12 to 15. The board does, I should say, the board does have discretion as well. Should you seek to approve this in terms of making the number of children a condition of the approval?
All right. Any other questions from the board?
Would you turn your mic on, Ms. Hitch?
Yeah. All right. The width of that street appears that if someone, for instance, an employee is parking on the street, that the vehicle access and egress in that on that street is going to be very limited. Is that correct?
I believe that if you had people, you know, parked on both sides of the street, that could limit two-way traffic there. As you can see in this photo, there is a car parked on street south of the subject property here. So I believe you could still accommodate traffic if someone was parked on only one side of the street. But within a residential neighborhood of this type, you know, on-street parking is not desirous from a safety standpoint, especially when it's occurring on both sides of the street.
Thank you.
Just out of curiosity, is there an in-between between 6 and 12 as a classification for child care?
No, anything over 6 from the county ordinance standpoint bumps you into center. But as I mentioned before, the board does have discretion to approve an alternative in terms of the number of children.
Okay. Any other questions of board? All right. Who is here representing the petitioner?
Ms. Hester is the petitioner, and we'll see if she's on the line.
Good morning.
Good morning. Would you raise your right hand, please? Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God this morning?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Ms. Hester, yes. You have the floor. If you would.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Yes, sir. Good morning, everyone. Again, my name is Chantel Hester, and I am a current state licensed child care provider for a family home child care. And what I am trying to do, as Mr. Lotson has said, I'm trying to increase the number of children so that I will have more space for more families to come in, especially those that are in dire need of child care services. As far as my neighbors go, I have had three of the neighbors within the community that have used my services, one literally right next door to me and one across the street, one on the next block. I've been doing this for 7 years. I have not had any neighbor complaints, nothing of any sort where the neighbors would complain to the parents or anything like that as far as driving in and parking. As far as the parking goes, I am a two-car garage or what have you, and at this time there will only be one car that will be there from 7:30 to 5, which will be my car, and everyone else can pull up inside the driveway, or as you said, they can pull to the side on the side of the road, which they will not be there no more than 5 minutes because they will have to sign their children in, sign them out, and they're on their way. Right now, currently, M zone for the six children for pay. And two of them are, well, I have currently seven, but two of them are mine. So they are not, they're not counted in that whole six children count. And so without any, I'm just really trying to increase, like I said, to make sure that I continue to serve the community, serve my community here. My husband and I, we decided to expand into the center so that we, like I said, have more space for those parents that need it, especially during this pandemic time. A lot of the centers, a lot of the home child care daycares are not really accepting at this time because of the pandemic. So that keeps, that have parents in a distress on where can I send my child, no one is taking my child, things of that nature. So what we've decided, we already have purchased another home so that I can transform this one solely as a child care center. That way I'll have more space inside and I have the space outside in the backyard. What else? I think that's pretty much it. As far as the state, there is a requirement for me to have an approval letter. I will have a part-time worker who will be there. Once I get this approval and send off the paperwork, I will need an extra person to come in. And I'm deciding to do a part-time worker. So that right now, it will be my car, but at that time, it will be one other car. And more than likely, parents drop children off at the beginning of the day. My cutoff time for drop off is 9 a.m. and they'll start coming in pretty much after nap time. I would say about three or so, three and till closing time. They will be in and out at different times to come and pick up their children. So there won't be a lot of traffic throughout the day. After 9 o'clock hits, there won't be a lot of traffic of parents coming in and out to drop off their kids or anything like that. So I just want to, like I said, I'm trying to continue to serve the community. I've been in the service in this home for 7 years. I have not had any comments or complaints from my neighbors. And that's pretty much where I am. I just really want to continue to serve the community. And that's about it.
All right, Ms. Hester, do you have any questions for staff this morning before I get to the board?
No, I don't. At this time, I don't.
All right. Are there any questions from members of the board? Ms. Ross?
Ms. Hester, this is Corinne Ross. Did I understand you to say that you have purchased another residence, so you will not be living in this home?
Yes, we have decided to purchase another home so that this one can be solely for the childcare services.
So then my question goes to Mr. Lotson. Does this change the use of the property, and does that have an impact?
Ms. Ross, and I'm just learning this also, but this is not something I've come across before, but as I understand it, that may create a permitting issue for Ms. Hester should this use be approved, because a childcare center within a residential district, the way I read the regulations, would require that property to have a full-time resident.
Otherwise, it changes the character to commercial.
Correct. Yes, sir.
If I may, may I speak?
Yes, ma'am. By all means.
Okay. I have come across quite a few childcare providers that do use a home solely for childcare, and they have their own residence aside from the home that they're using for childcare. I just really am trying to make this work, and they're in a residence. Like I said, their home, what did she tell me, is really like two houses down or something like that. So it's nothing unusual for childcare providers to have a home that's solely for childcare. And I just, like I said, I want to expand to continue to work with the community and the parents and families.
Any other questions from members of the board?
I have a question. Ms. Hester, are you intending to increase the number of children to 15?
At this time, no. I'm not going to go up to the maximum. I'll at least stay at the minimum at 12. But no, my at this time, it is not going to go up to the max.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Ms. Ross?
This may be in the packet of information we received. I apologize if it is. What's the square footage on this home? How many bedrooms? What ages are the children that you're currently accommodating?
At this time, I'm accommodating ages 1 through 4. She's 1 through 4. This is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home, full kitchen, full dining, and it also has a sunroom that is connected to the home in case the weather is not permitting to go outside. The state approved that can be considered their outside because of the windows and things of that nature where I can open and it can still get the fresh air and things of that nature. So I don't have my papers for the square footage. Oh, I hate that. But again, this is a 3-bedroom, 2-bath. And I also use my living room at this right now. I use the living room as a full space that the children can play. I have different stations. One of the other rooms will be, once I get this situated, I'll have pretty much 2 age groups. The 3 and 4-year-olds will be in pretty much the living room, and the 1 and 2-year-olds will be in the master bed because there is a bathroom there inside. So, and I'll have stations and different things for 1 and 2-year-olds in that area. One of the rooms in the front will be considered my office, and then I will have a free room at this time. And then, like I said, the sunroom is also an area that I use as well.
Thank you.
Any other questions from members of the board? Ms. Hester, do you have any further comments or questions?
Not at this time.
Okay. Is there anyone else here to speak for the petitioner on the phone this morning?
No, it's just me.
No members of the public appear to be on the line, Mr. Chairman.
Is there any other evidence to be presented this morning?
Nothing from staff.
Then the evidence is closed. Any discussion from members of the board before going to a vote? From the chair, I have great concerns about whether the zoning classification would be violated in the event that assessor does not live in this property. So I'm wondering whether this petition is appropriate or not at this point.
Mr. Chairman, if that's in the form of a question, I think my only comment would be that currently she resides at that property.
Understood.
And should the board take action in favor of Ms. Hester's petition, then I think it would be under those circumstances. Should she move from the property at some other point, I think that becomes a permitting issue with Chatham County, who will have to address that, you know, as it relates to her business license. And just to back up one second to answer one of Ms. Ross's questions, based on the tax assessor's information, the house is 1,424 square feet.
Any other questions or comments?
Just a quick question for staff. If we did allow that use and then Ms. Hester chose to leave the residence and reside elsewhere, how would that be known? How would that be followed up?
Yeah, that's a difficult thing to enforce, you know, from the county standpoint. The only way it could fully be determined is through inspections, which I believe are annual. And then the renewal of the business license, which is also annual.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments, discussion? Yes, ma'am.
I just like to say that I'm sympathetic to the need for early childcare in neighborhoods. I think that given the size of the structure that she has and the type of use of this community, I don't believe that it would be unreasonable to increase the amount of kids that are able to attend this. However, I do think that having the maximum number of 15 children that would in this neighborhood having to accommodate, regardless of what time, potentially 15 different parents picking up and dropping off their kids at any given time of day, as well as the space that is inside of here, might be a little bit risky. So I would just like to say that I'm in favor of an increase, even if it is to maybe 10 children rather than 15. But I think that that could be accommodated with her still living on site, and that's my opinion, that could be accommodated with her still living on site and still providing for the community in a time like this where childcare is a very difficult thing to find. So.
Thank you. Mr. Vineyard.
Mr. Chairman, I have a number of concerns about this. I think I can't imagine 15 children in a 1,400 square foot house to begin with. The backyard actually doesn't even look sufficient. If you took 15 times 100, that's 1,500 square feet. I don't even see that the backyard is sufficient to do that. Thirdly, the traffic on this road, I mean, obviously in the morning and the afternoon is going to be heavy. And fourthly, it seems to me it changes the entire nature of this road. I mean, the next thing is we're going to have a McDonald's next door. I mean, it makes it a commercial establishment right in the middle of what appears to be a very nice residential subdivision. And therefore, I'm dead set against it.
If I may, may I speak?
Ms. Hester?
Yes, sir. As far as the backyard goes, all of the children will not be in the backyard at the same time. Like I said, the rooms will be separated by age. So at one point, the 1 and 2 year olds will be back out in the backyard. And then when it's time for the 3 and 4 year olds, they will be in the backyard. none of the children would be in the backyard all at the same time. And as far as the childcare, the daycare goes, as far as parents dropping off, picking up and dropping off, there's one more daycare home in this community. There were two more, but one late. But there's one more that's here in this community, and even that, we have not heard any complaints from any of our neighbors as far as the trafficking. There was one up at the front of the neighborhood, at the entry, where there were complaints, because that provider, she not only did regular daycare, but she did before and after school. That meant the school buses were coming in, and that really stopped the traffic for people entering into the community. And that is not what I'm trying to do. I'm not doing before or after school. This is mainly for our toddlers that are coming in. And again, they will not all be out in the backyard all at the same time. That's just not how the state allows.
Thank you, Ms. Hestrom. Any other comments or discussion from board members?
Mr. Chairman, I have a statement, I would imagine. So I'm hearing a couple of things. The safety issue with regard to drop-off, and I know these are narrow streets. So with the safety of the drop-off is one issue. I've also heard that another home is going to be, or is already in the works to be purchased, which I think from staff's point of view, that would change the demographic of the existing home. So it sounds to me like if this was a vote in favor of, we could very well be in this position again once the petitioner moved on, and now we've got a whole different demographic and a permitting issue. And then on the boot of that, as explanations come forward, it sounds more like this new home may not be in the picture, that I may stay. There's several, to me, that's a key unknown. Either we're going to move out and make this a commercial spot, which is a whole nother issue. And again, the existing issue is, I would imagine with this other daycare center, that they don't have 12 or 15 people. So it's difficult to make an assessment if there's a, I'll say for this instance, a competitor that only has six children. That's not a fair comparison to say if this person is doing 12 and you're doing 12, the traffic on the street has got to be, it would make sense. There's an issue. Mm-hmm. And if the true desire is to make this a commercial daycare, is there any reason that the petitioner can share that she just doesn't find a location that's already permitted for that? Particularly if you're going to sell this property and move into another one. Why is that a fair question? Why would you take this resident, which in what I'm hearing, the whole demographic changes should you move, why wouldn't you move to a spot or a commercial place that you're already permitted properly to do what it is that you want to do with the children?
And Mr. Chairman, if I may,
absolutely.
I think one of the, that's a great point by Mr. Pelote, and I think the reasoning behind this requirement for use approval is because there are certain conditions and certain development patterns that may make sense for a residence to be permitted to have more than six children, particularly if they're on an arterial collector street, because that is going to typically be more of a mixed use or commercial type neighborhood. This is a very traditional suburban single family residential classification, and that's the reason for these conditions. Should Ms. Hester's operation been in a different location, we'd probably look at it differently. And from staff standpoint, we have a hard time justifying use approval in a circumstance where the development pattern 100% is single family residential, because you are getting into more of a commercial operation, particularly if some of the things that come to pass in this discussion do come to pass.
Thank you. Any other comments or discussion on the board? Hearing none, I'd like to call for a vote. If you would, please use the criterion on page 2 and 3 to frame your motion.
If there's a, yeah, for the motion maker.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, with all great sympathy for Ms. Hester, this grandmother of five really takes her hat off to Ms. Hester for being willing to step forward and provide this obviously very needed service. And as much as I would like to extend that sympathy, in accordance with the recommendations from staff and the concerns that have been expressed by the members of the board so far, with some regret, I offer a motion to support staff in their denial of this request.
You're making a motion to affirm the zoning administrator's decision.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right, then I'll call for a roll call vote. Mr. Pelot?
Aye.
Mr. Dotrica?
Aye.
Ms. Ross?
Aye.
Ms. Hitch?
Aye.
Ms. Stone?
Nay.
That was a nay? All right. Mr. Vineyard?
Aye.
And the chairman votes aye. The petition
may I say something? May I speak?
Can you limit it 30 seconds, please?
That's fine. What do I need to do with you all denying this? What do I need to do next? Because I'm really trying to increase the space for the families. I really want to get to the families.
I understand. If you would contact staff, there are certain matters which would allow you to appeal this decision this morning to the Superior Court of Chatham County, and they can assist you in that regard to give you some basic instruction.
You said Superior Court of Chatham County?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, ma'am. All right.
Mm-hmm.
The petition is denied. Third matter this morning, Mr. Lotson.
Mr. Chairman, the third item under regular business is related to property at 7460 LaRoche Avenue. The petitioner is seeking a variance to section 3-3 of the Chatham County Ordinance. That section of the ordinance states that each lot of record may only have one electrical meter. The petitioner, who currently has purchased the subject property, is seeking to have operated a second meter on the property. This is a map of the subject property. It's on the east side of LaRoche Avenue, abutting the Herb River. It's approximately 30 acres in total, but about 2.5 acres is actually upland. The property is zoned R1 in the environmental overlay. And although it's residentially zoned, and many of you are probably familiar with this property, historically it operated as a fish camp and boat launch. And the current property owner operates it essentially in that manner now. The property, as you can see, is surrounded on three sides by water. The fourth side abuts LaRoche Avenue, and the nearest residences are south of the property on the opposite side of the Herb River. Under the previous ownership, the existing dock and accessory buildings that are on the property were powered by a second electrical meter that is still present but not in service. The applicant went before the county to request that service, and it led to this hearing. Just to back up a little bit, the intent of that regulation, which is somewhat antiquated, frankly, but the intent was to make sure that there were not multiple residences on a single family residential property. And that had been an issue historically in the county. But in this case, and we've had some examples of this, where people have accessory buildings on large lots that are too far away from one meter to serve, have power served, or they have a dock on, for example, some of the long, narrow lots on Wilmington Island, et cetera. In staff's review of the petition, we find that this is not a case in which a second residence is being established. There are accessory buildings on the property along with a residential cottage and based on the criteria of the ordinance, we find that the applicant is not making an attempt to establish a new residence on this site, but only to power existing accessory buildings and structures, and we're recommending approval.
All right, does the board have any questions of staff before we get to the petitioner?
Mr. Lotson, so yes, apparently there's not going to be any change to the current use of the property.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
I have a question. The property is currently zoned residential?
Yes.
And always has been?
Yes.
And the owner is intending to continue to use it as a commercial?
No, my understanding in conversations with the applicant, who's on the line today, I believe, it's there's also a existing residence on this property, which he resides in, and he's going to continue to reside at this location. It is not a commercial use.
Thank you.
All right, I think we need to hear from the petitioner. Who's online on behalf of the petitioner?
Mr. Javits, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Mr. Javits, do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth to help you, God?
Yes, I do.
Thank you, sir. You have the floor.
All right. Well, thank you all for hearing me today, and I hope you all think of this as simple of a situation as I do. But one thing, I wanted to thank Mr. Lotson for going through everything. I did want to mention, I think he said that I was currently still operating as a fish camp. I am not. I have done everything I can to have it still remain looking like the original fish camp and better than it has in recent years. I don't know if any of y'all passed by on the way to Isle of Hope, but there's been a lot of cleanup done. It looks a lot better than it has, well, ever, really. But it is just my private residence. I grew up down the river from here and have been, I got my first boat when I was 10 and have been putting it in at this place ever since. So I'm thrilled that I now get to own this property and live here. And that is my intention, to live here. The property does have a house that I'm living in, and separate from the house is a number of utility buildings, as what's being shown on the screen right now. I assume y'all are seeing the same thing as I am. You know, the shed, the large shed that it shows is my workshop. The two-story framed building it's just a two-story framed building. It's gutted, it's storage. And the main thing is the docks. I'm looking to activate this existing power meter that's already there, just so I can supply power to these buildings, the adequate amount of power for, I'm not sure if y'all are familiar with, but you know, many floating docks have shore power for a boat that a boat can plug into and be able to run a refrigerator, an AC unit, or whatever that boat may have. I don't personally have a boat of that size at the moment, but I hope to in the future. Want to be able to also run a hoist, which requires some power. I have a hoist now. It's the original travel hoist that existed with the marina. I've got a small skiff and some other boats that I take in and out, and currently I'm using a manual operated chain hoist to pull the boats out. I guess the reasoning that I need the separate meter is the house that's on the property is set back a decent ways from the docks in this area. And I don't want to cause disturbance of trying to run underground wires over them and the large power that it would take. Also, I have a there is no county water here on the property. I had to put in a new well system, which is already a large draw on the power coming from the house. So I was hoping that I could activate this other meter just so that I can power up this area of the property for utility uses and recreational uses involved with the docks.
Anything else, Mr. Javits?
I think that's about it. As I said, I know that it is a residential property and I am using it for residential purposes and with no intention of otherwise.
All right. I am very familiar with this property. It used to be the Teuton's Fish Camp, I believe it was.
Yes, sir.
And at any given time, I have seen boats and trailers stored on that property. Is it your intention to allow that for persons other than yourself?
It's my intention to have my own personal boats on the property, and I may have a friend or family member that needs a little extra space to put their boat because they can't keep it in their own driveway. Then yes, I have some other people putting a boat here, but it's not being run as a business. It's just I've got the space and I like helping out my friends and family.
All right. Any questions from staff or the board?
I have another question. I'm very familiar with this property as well, and I do think you have made some great improvements and should be congratulated for that. But I think what you're saying is you do not intend to rent or make this in any way a commercial venture?
That is correct.
Thank you.
All right. Questions from anyone else? Do you have anything else you'd like to present this morning, Mr. Javits?
I believe that's all.
All right. Hearing none, the evidence is closed. Do we have any discussion from members of the board? Questions, comments? None. Hearing none, can I ask for a motion, please?
Mr. Chairman, this is Mr. Vineyard. I would move that we adopt staff's recommendations and approve the variance. This seems to me a rather innocuous request. Pretty limited, and the gentleman says it's not going to be used for commercial use. So I see no reason why we should not grant the variance.
Do I hear a second to that motion?
Second.
All right. And Ms. Ross is seconding that motion. All right. Let me call for a roll call vote. Mr. Plou.
Aye.
Mr. Nutrica.
Aye.
Ms. Ross.
Aye.
Ms. Hitch.
Aye.
Ms. Stone.
Aye.
Mr. Vineyard.
Aye.
And chairman votes aye. Thank you, Mr. Javits.
Thank you.
Your petition has successfully been presented. Go forward and put your new box on the dock.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right. Is there any other business this morning?
Nothing further from staff, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. With that, can I entertain a motion to adjourn? Second. All right. Maybe I didn't need a motion. I am. This meeting is adjourned. Thank you.